is God. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. And we know that God has called Joshua to take Moses' place, which that was a huge call because, you know, it's just hard to replace a Moses. But God did so. It was time, Moses' time to go on. It was time for God's people to enter the promised land to receive their inheritance that God had promised to the forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob so long ago. And so they would go in and they would fulfill the purpose of God to go in and to defeat the armies of the Canaanites. And so they did so, and we get to the place of the fifth chapter. They have just crossed the Jordan River, and they're beginning to feel the pressure and the heat. They've got to defeat armies that are bigger than they are, more powerful and more numerous than they are. They have got an impossible task, except if God is with them. And so they would have to stay close to God, live for God, walk with God, then God would be their strength, their power, and there wouldn't be any army that could stand against God, the God of Israel. Well, let's notice the scriptures together. Chapter 5, verse 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today that instructs us in righteousness. And I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would talk to the heart and the soul of every person here today. God, you alone know what everybody deals with or has dealt with this past week or will deal with in the future. And I know, God, that you're able to give us spiritual grace and strength, Lord, for the days now and the days that are ahead. And I pray, oh God, that you would instruct us in righteousness out of your word. We pray for the anointing, the work of your Holy Spirit, God, in the ministry of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll entitle this message today, "The Commander of the Lord's Army." And please don't read political things into everything I say, even though it's a struggle not to. But anyway, "The Commander of the Lord's Army." And we see here, it's just Joshua's come here with a great burden upon him to conquer Canaan's land, and he meets a man standing with his sword drawn, which would symbolize ready to go to war. And that's what it would take. And we look as they had entered this promised land. Let me just quickly tell you this. The promised land in Scripture is not a type of heaven. It is a type of salvation. For in heaven there will be no enemies to overcome, to conquer. There will be no devil, no threats, no fears. But in our Christian walk, which would be Canaan's land, in our Christian walk with God, there is an enemy. And you and I must do what Paul told his son Timothy in the faith. He said, we must fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Amen. So the children of Israel had crossed Jordan, and they are now in the land of promise. And all that remains now is to conquer the land. But speaking from a human standpoint, that is impossible. Joshua, God's chosen successor to Moses, is out near Jericho. And through his mind, he's probably thinking, what am I doing? Amen. Have you ever entered a certain place in your life and you say, what in the world am I doing here? Okay. Maybe on the carnal side, Joshua is saying this. What am I doing? But the responsibility, the awesome responsibility, the task ahead is perhaps weighing heavily upon him. And he sees a man standing with a drawn sword. So he approaches him and questions, "Are you for our enemies?" And the reply comes back, surely had to be comforting to Joshua, "As the captain of the Lord of hosts, I have come." So Joshua would not enter Canaan's land. He would not have to defeat all the armies by himself or with Israel. there would be a spiritual force behind him that was stronger and more powerful than any force this world could ever come up with. Stronger than any army that could ever be. Amen. Stronger than the Romans were. Stronger than every army you can think of. Amen. The Lord's army. When you see the scripture, the Lord of hosts, many times that means the Lord commander of an army of heavenly soldiers. Amen. And that's what they had to have here. The enemy here is more than just human. They were facing the demonic powers behind the evil lifestyle of the Canaanites. It would take a God thing for them to overcome and to conquer the land. It's not that they were such talented soldiers. It's not that they just had the best of the best with them. They had an impossible thing to do, and yet without God's help, they could not do it. But they were not alone. And I can tell you, friend, today, I've never been the kind of preacher that just, I know some preachers see a demon behind every bush and try to name it and all that kind of, I'm not into that. But I will tell you, there is a spiritual enemy out there. And our enemy is more than just Islamic jihadists, more than just addictions to sinful things. Our enemy is a demonic force behind these things. And it's the devil. But I can tell you, we're not alone in this fight. We're not alone in this battle. We alone by ourselves are no match for the spiritual powers of the enemy. But the commander-in-chief is Christ. Amen. He's there with us to protect us, to be with us. Paul told the church in Ephesus, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand the schemings of the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against wicked spirits in the heavenlies." And so we see our enemy today is not just in people that we disagree with or don't care for, but we are engaging in spiritual warfare. And I've seen people make foolish things out of that idea of spiritual warfare, but the truth really is there are demonic forces that are at work. I think it's easy to see in our society they are at work. I can tell you something also. There's a God that's at work too. He's helped people overcome. Today there will be people saved. God will give peace where there was no peace. Today, God will give deliverance where there was where people were bound by things they couldn't let go of themselves and needed God's help. I tell you, we serve a mighty God, all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present God. He's here today. Praise the Lord. And so He's a mighty God. And this, no doubt, speaks of more than just an angel, because we see that Joshua here worships the one who is armed with a sword. And this is none other than a pre-incarnate Christ, the commander-in-chief of God's army. And today, Christ, Jesus Christ, He is God. He is deity. The deity of our Lord Jesus Christ is one of the major doctrines of Scripture. He's not just an angel. He's not just sort of God. I can tell you, He's deity. He proved it by His sinless life on this earth. His sacrificial death on the cross, His bodily resurrection from the dead, amen, His ascension to the right hand of the Father, and the promise of His soon return in the clouds of glory. We saw that's who was the commander that Joshua saw that day. Praise the Lord. And so when we look at this, that the task ahead of us, let's ask ourselves the question, shall we operate in this life in fear or in faith? Faith, I think. Faith, I know. But there are many indications that Joshua was fearful of the task that had been placed upon him. But he had to remember God's word to him. How many times in the first part of Joshua did God say to him, God said to him, be strong and of good courage. And again, God said, be strong and very courageous. And the third time, God told Joshua, be strong. He said, of a good courage, do not be afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. He would not stand alone to face all the enemies of the Canaanites. But if he would operate in faith and believe this God and faithfully serve this God and keep His commandments, they would have victory. As Joshua feels his total inadequacy to handle the job that the Lord had called him to perform, yet God the Father or God the Son speaks to him here. And you and I maybe feel inadequate to pursue the task of moving forward in our faith. You may have awakened, you know, Thursday morning after revival, and the devil may have said to you, all that you got tonight, all that you got this past week was all just emotion. Oh, you just, well, you saw a few people got excited, so you decided to get excited too. Or you felt that before, or it was just you, it was just your feelings, just your emotions, you didn't get anything from God. But I'm here to tell you today, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. What you got wasn't fake, it was real. It's from God. God doesn't hand out fake things. God gives the real power, the real glory, the real victory. Amen. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, I love Romans chapter 8. I memorized it one time. Need to memorize it again so I don't forget. But Romans 8:31, let me tell you something. You don't have to convince God to help you. If you're walking with him, living for him, he's already for you. Here it says, Romans 8:31, what shall I say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I want to tell you something, friend. There is no greater power than God's. It doesn't go beyond him. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God did not spare heaven's greatest treasure, his only begotten son. Amen. He wanted you to have victory. He wanted you to live in victory. He wanted you to be an overcomer. He wanted you to be faithful to him. He wanted you to walk and talk and live the life he's put in you. He intends for you to end up in glory with him someday forever. Hallelujah. It's always amazed me that God wants me to spend and you to spend eternity with him. Why does God need me? No, he doesn't need you. He doesn't need anybody or anything. But God, in his love and his mercy, he wants man whom he created in his own likeness and image to share eternity with him. My friend, how can anyone turn that down? It'll be an eternity of the revelations of the eternal God. Praise the Lord. And so the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is fighting for us. You are of a little God. I've already quoted this, so I'll quote it again in case you missed it. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Okay? Amen. And here Joshua realizes he's standing before not just a man with his sword drawn, but he's standing before somebody that deserves worship. And so he proceeds to worship. Verse 14. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped, and he said, what does my Lord say to his servant? So he begins to worship. And I'm sure that was with great relief that Joshua fell to his feet and worshiped, knowing that it was God he was standing before. The fact that Joshua worshipped him only proves it was more than just an angel, but the Lord himself. Okay? And there's only one worthy of worship. There's not any church building worthy of worship. Amen. There's no preacher worthy of worship. There's no worship team worthy of worship. There's no deacon or Sunday school teacher or regular church member that's worthy of worship. But when it comes to the house of God, friend, we're not here to see each other. We're here to meet God. We're here to bow before the King of Glory, the bright and the morning star and the fairest of 10,000, the King of Glory, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one that saves us, keeps us, and brings us to his eternal, our eternal home with him. Praise God. And so Joshua, no doubt, at first felt overwhelmed, but you know what he did when he felt overwhelmed? He didn't try to find his favorite faith teacher to give him some scriptures to stand on. God had already told him to stand on the word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. That was God's word, that was God's promise to him. You're going to be successful if you follow me, Joshua. They're saying, okay. And so maybe the temptation might have been there, Lord, I can't do this. But as he began to recall the word of God to him, he was going to walk forward. He was going to have success in his efforts through God to overcome the Canaanites. Amen. And so he was standing before Almighty God. He was standing before the Creator of the ends of the earth that spoke the world into existence. He is created. He was standing before the Savior of the world, the King of glory, the Almighty One. My friend, when temptation came to Joshua, you know what he started doing? He started worshiping. I'm sure he wanted to say, I can't overcome all these. I can't do this alone. I can't do this by myself. God didn't. Surely there's somebody more qualified than me to take this. I don't know what he said. But he began to sing and he began to worship God. I don't know if he sang or not, but he worshiped God, it says here. And as he began to worship God, I believe that faith began to rise in his heart, not fear, but faith. As he had a revelation of Almighty God standing before him, or him standing before God, and I'm sure it all fear just kind of vanished. And he said, with God on my side, this is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I'm going to win. I can't lose. I'm going to go forward with God. We're going to conquer the Canaanites. We're going to conquer this land. Amen. We're going to have victory. We're going to walk in victory. We're going to live in victory. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, gives promises to us. Isaiah 59:19, it says, when the enemy would come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord would lift up a standard against him. And we see the word standard there. There was a banner over each tribe of Israel that identified each tribe. And when it comes to New Testament, my friend, I think we can say that standard is the banner of the cross that's always lifted up before us. That's where the victory was won. That's where Christ defeated the devil. Amen. That banner of the cross is lifted up. I pray this every day over my children. I pray the banner of the cross will be up over my children, up on my over the church that we pastor here. Amen. We pray the banner of the cross over everything. Praise the Lord. Satan was defeated at the cross. Death was conquered at the cross. Jesus gave the devil a blow on his head. Amen. Crushed his head. Crushed the head of the serpent. Praise the Lord. And had victory there. I am. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. But behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. We're victorious in Christ. The thing that mankind fears the most is dying, but we don't have to fear death because Jesus took the fear of death out of it when he died at the cross and then rose again from the dead with authority over death, hell, and the grave. Praise the Lord. Operate in fear or faith? I think faith. Yes. Praise the Lord. You see here, Joshua acknowledges that it's God here helping him. Praise the Lord. The commander of the Lord said, now I've come, Joshua, to help you out here. Yeah, that's my own version. It's not printed and sold yet. Forget it. And Joshua worships, then the commander of the Lord's army begins to worship. Let me tell you something, friend. The enemy of your soul hates for you to acknowledge God in any way. And he sure hates for you to be here this morning. I just want to notice. I'm very glad you're here, and God's glad you're here. But the devil, he just hates for you to be here this morning. Because he doesn't want God of heaven and earth to be worshipped at all. As a matter of fact, he got kicked out of heaven because he thought he was good enough to replace God in worship. And he wanted people to worship him. That's what the devil wants, is worship. And when you put God on the shelf and lay aside and start going the other way, that's who you're worshiping. But if you want to worship God in the spirit and in truth, you got to follow him. Amen. What God said to Joshua had to mean something. He had to live for God. He had to walk with God. Amen. Yes, he was unworthy, like we are unworthy of the salvation that God has given us, but we make a choice to walk with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the enemy doesn't want you to acknowledge God in any way, because in doing so, you're bringing honor and praise to him, to the Lord of heaven and of earth. And Satan once boasted, I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Isaiah 14:12-17. You want to read it when you get home. Tells you the I ams or I wills of Satan. In the end, he willed nothing. God took him out. And continues to take him out. And so the enemy hates for you to worship God. But my friend, when it comes to worship, we need to hold up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Everything that keeps you from worship, everything that keeps you from prayer, everything that keeps you from being in pursuit of God, you need to say, I'm going to walk and live in faith. Hold up the shield of faith. I'm going to quench, it's going to quench every excuse I can have for not serving God or not being faithful to God. When you want to go to your knees in prayer and everything within you wants to do something else besides pray, amen, that's a shield of faith. I've got to pray, and if I pray, I'm promised victory. If I'll stick to God, if I'll live for God, I've got victory there. Every time you want to open your Bible and read the Word of God, you need to remember Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You got to walk with it. You got to live for it. Amen. Read it and hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God. Hallelujah. If you want to know more about what the Word of God has to say, read a real short chapter in Psalms 119. It only has 176 verses. A lot of people want to read one verse or two so they can say, I read my Bible today, and read 2nd or 3rd John or Jude. They've all got one chapter. If you really want to be spiritual, you want to read in the Old Testament. Obadiah's got one chapter. Okay, let's move on here. So, we've got to go overcome the fear and have faith instead. And it's the love of God that overcomes fear. God helps those who love Him. Because God loves us and helps us to overcome the fear of death and hell. And that happens when you're saved. God has given you deliverance from the fear of death and hell. And there's other things that we have to overcome. We have to overcome some things that people say and some things that people do. We have to overcome the convictions and expectations of others with the holier-than-thou spirit. And so we've got to do that. Let me tell you something. Convictions are one thing. What God's Word says is another thing. I have convictions of my own. There are things that I just won't do because I don't think it's right and I don't want to do it. And it offends the Holy Spirit in me, or makes it, it's hard for me to get close to God when I'm thinking or doing certain things or living a certain way. You know, this is things I just won't do. But I want to tell you, friend, there's things nailed down in the Scripture that we better not do. There's things in the Scripture, my friend, if you live according to this book, if you overcome the works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19 through 21, you will live a holy life without anybody else's instruction. Amen. If you don't know what that is, read Galatians 5:19 through 21, especially when you don't feel like it. Amen. But if we love God, we're going to follow Him. We're going to keep His commandment. We're going to live His Word. Amen. And live not necessarily by our convictions, but not other people's convictions, but by the Word of God, what it says. In 1 John, it says, chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected in us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That's interesting to me. God has loved us so that we will not feel condemned on the day of judgment, but we can have boldness in the day of judgment, and that boldness comes from what Christ did for us on the cross, that our sins were judged at Calvary, they were taken care of. Amen. I don't think of boldness. That's not the first word that comes to my mind when I think about standing before God. But I know we're going to give an account. But I can stand on His Word that He told me to stand on and told you to stand on. We can have boldness in the day of judgment, not bold about what all we got by with in this world. We didn't get by with anything. Boldness, but because we can be certain and assured that what God has promised and the righteousness that He has imparted unto us, it is stands in heaven, it is accepted by God the Father in heaven, and you're accepted as one of His children. Amen. You'll be accepted when you walk into the kingdom of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Now, Joshua might have been fearful here, but God loved him. And when God revealed Himself to Joshua here as the commander of the Lord's army, fear was gone. He felt the acceptance of God. There's no fear in love, for perfect love cast out fear. God perfectly loves us. It says, because fear involves torment, and it does. There are people that are tormented because they're just afraid of what's going to happen. And most of which never happens. But you can take on a spirit of fear and be scared and afraid of everything and everybody until you won't even get up and go anywhere and do anything. And I can tell you, friend, that's not a gift of God. Amen. That's the enemy of your soul trying to make you fear everything. Sure, there's things that we fear. And there's natural fear that we should fear, you know. You shouldn't play Russian roulette with a six shooter. Even if you only have three shells in it. You shouldn't jump off a cliff and say, God will bear you up. No. It's common sense, fear. But there's something else, and that's just a continual something in your spirit that says, you know, that just makes you afraid of everything. That's not from God. There is no fear in love. God loves you. Just as you love a child, our relative, hopefully, and you don't want anything bad to happen to them, and you protect them from things that would harm them. Amen. Because fear about itself involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love, but we love him before because he first loved us. Amen. And he does love us. Praise the Lord. And so much that he wanted us in heaven. He couldn't stand for the devil to take mankind who was created in God's likeness and image and just completely destroy him. But God made a way of deliverance and salvation for us and redemption. Praise God for that. Okay. So fear is not from God. But there is faith that comes from God. You know, faith is a gift. It's not something you try to get. Or if you say enough words over and over, you get more faith. Jesus said if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and has to obey. Whatever is needed, God can do it if we believe. That doesn't mean that God bows down to all of our carnal desires and said, I'll just give you this, that, and the other, and no matter what you ask, if it's good or bad for you. No, God doesn't do that. But God is concerned about your well-being. Amen. And rewards us and gives us things that are good for us. Amen. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Psalms 103. Amen. But Israel must move into the promised land in faith. Only God could conquer the things there. There were walled cities. And it's believed that Jericho's wall was wide enough for a chariot to get on top with horses and ride down it. That's a pretty wide wall. Amen. When I was in high school, I couldn't have got my Camaro on it probably. But there were walled cities. They were protected by walls that no enemy could come in. There were giants in the land, people of supernatural size. As a matter of fact, when the 12 spies went out years earlier, they said we were like grasshoppers in their sights. If they were anything like Goliath, 9 foot tall, and others with unusual size, there were giants in the land. There were heathen in the land. They knew nothing of the true and living God. There were demon-infested enemies of God. And so it took God to help them conquer the land. They must operate in faith. They looked at those giants, those walled cities, those heathen, those demon-infested people, and says, there's only one way we can come through this and be victorious. We got to have God on our side. My friend, God was for them. God was not against them. They went forth and conquered enemies that nobody could conquer. They saw walls fall down. They saw giants run off. Amen. They saw people come in one way and leave seven ways. Hallelujah. All the promises and the blessings of God were upon them as long as they followed God. If you read in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the cursings, my friend, after you've read that, you surely want to be under the blessings. And they needed to operate in the blessing of God here. And the Lord of hosts was well equipped to handle and completely overcome the enemies they would face. You and I as a believer must learn to fully to rely on God's strength, God's power, God's faithfulness. The past and in the present. Let me just tell you this. I did not get a degree in motivational speaking. But let me just lay this on you. You are no match for the devil at all. Let me help you a little bit there. But you and God are a majority, and you will overcome if God is with you. We do not understand spiritual forces, and there's people that spend all their time trying to figure out what demon did what. I encourage you, just look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You walk forward, keep your eyes on Christ, aim the straight and narrow that leads to life everlasting. Amen. Praise the Lord. When filled with the Holy Spirit, the believer can have power to stand, power to say no to all temptations, power to overcome fear, and power to overcome sin. Amen. If we look at the church in the book of Acts, our example, they learned to rely fully on God's power as they prayed and stayed full of the Spirit. Time after time they were filled, refilled with the Holy Spirit, because they knew in their own, operating in their own power, they would be overcome. But they also learned with God there's power, and with God's power they could overcome, even as the Apostle Paul could say in prison, though God is for us, who can be against us? Paul could say in prison, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Many times the crowd will say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I hear that today. And they're talking about overcoming a headache or getting the last penny to pay a bill. Let me tell you the context of that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me was a Christian man in a Roman prison. He said, I can live through this Roman prison. I can overcome. I can be victorious because I can do this because Christ is in me. Whatever you face, big or small, through Christ, you can be an overcomer. Praise the Lord. You can be full of faith. So the Acts church had to learn to rely fully on God's power. They would face opposition. They would face prison. And all the apostles, except for one, would face martyrdom for their faith. Paul would have his head cut off because he would not deny Christ and deny the faith. It took more than just willpower to do that. It took God's power. Yet they would overcome and they would enter eternity in victory instead of defeat. When they were being persecuted at the first, when the church broke out and began to spread the gospel, Acts 4:31, it says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. And I can tell you, in front of persecution, when their lives were threatened to be killed for speaking the name of Jesus, they spoke the word of God with boldness. How? Because Christ, by His Spirit, God by His Spirit, empowered them to do so. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. And they did. How could Stephen, the first martyr of the church, when he was dying, he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. And he laid his head down and died. He was being stoned to death, stones coming thick and fast. His last words, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, proving the spirit departs from the body at death and goes to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. So Stephen died seeing Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus was standing, welcoming his first martyr home. Hallelujah. My friend, we have to believe in this God that we serve. 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Not our fear, but our faith. The captain, the same captain of the Lord's host that met Joshua near Jericho wants to meet you and I today. He wants to walk with you today, tomorrow, the next day. And I believe that God is ready to go before you and to lead you into that promised land, to walk you through this promised land, a land of fighting, a land of walls and giants, not easy things, demonic forces against us. But we can walk on and be victorious because the captain of our salvation, Christ, is going before us. Amen. Today you also need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We hear a lot of preached about, you know, asking Christ into your heart, but when we really ask Jesus into our heart, we're making Jesus Lord of our life. We're saying, Lord, I want you to be in charge of me from here on out. Whether it's in life, whether it's in death, whether it's in suffering or victory, or whether it's in sickness or health, God, we want to proclaim you as Lord of our lives. And the moment you do that, you can rest, for the great task ahead is not your responsibility, but His. He's in charge. And you cast all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen. God loves you. You can be victorious. You can be an overcomer because the commander of the Lord's army is on our side. Amen. He's really already fought the battle, won it at the cross, will come again in the clouds of heaven shortly, I believe. And so we just need to be ready to meet him. You can be victorious. You can be an overcomer. Whatever enemy you come up against. Amen.